Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. Now, as most of you know, I'm a pretty big sports fan. I'm a really big Patriots fan. But actually, growing up, my favorite sport actually wasn't football. It actually wasn't football. My favorite sport growing up was actually baseball. Boston is a baseball town, even more so than it is a football town. The Patriots have definitely helped to change that, but Boston is still and will always be a baseball town. And I grew up as a pretty big Red Sox fan. And I liked baseball more than I liked football because when I was small, I was a very thin child, right? I was like, you ever draw a stick figure? That's kind of what I look like. I mean, I was pretty small. I mean, I think maybe a 160, you know, soaking wet in high school. Like, I was tiny. I was tall. I had height, about the same height I am now, but I was really thin, right? And so I was like, football might not be the best sport for me, right? That might not be what I want to get into. Let me try baseball. Why? Because you don't really get hit that much in baseball, right? Basketball, people foul you. I don't want to get fouled, right? In baseball, people kind of keep their distance, right? I play my base, you play your base, right? Maybe if anything's going to hit me, it's the ball, right? Nobody's swinging anything at you. So I was like, okay, man, I can do baseball. But, man, I remember when I was young, my mom worked for the law firm that actually basically handled the Red Sox. And so we used to get tickets when I was very young. And so we used to go to games. And so some of my earliest experience I remember is going to Red Sox games pretty regularly. And I really enjoyed that. And I remember, man, inevitably that, man, I wanted to play. Right? I wanted to play. So, man, I remember my dad, he got me this really nice Wilson glove, right? But then he had to bring it back because I actually catch with my right and throw with my left. One of those weird ambidextrous people, right? Because I write with my right, but I actually throw with my left, so he had to go and get it back. But I remember this glove, and it was really cool. And I remember getting it because, man, the rain's coming down. I wanted to play baseball. And I was like, man, I'm gonna play Little League. I'm gonna jump in, man. I'm gonna be good. At that time, it was like Ken Griffey Jr. like had just burst on the scene, and everybody had like the new Ken Griffey. I was like, man, I'm gonna be just like Ken Griffey. He was really cool, right? But I was like, man, I really wanted to do that. I wanted to get into baseball. And my generation, really different than years before that we saw, they kind of implemented this rule, and it was great for kids like me, right? Because even though I wanted to play baseball, I wasn't the most athletic person, right? Still not, right? Roger tells me every once in a while, like, Carl was telling me, Pastor, you got to work on your game. And I was like, okay, I'll work on my game. But Pastor, that's why I don't play too much when they play. I kind of watch. I sit on the sidelines, and I root, cheer, yay, y'all go. And I kind of cheer, but I wasn't the most athletic person. But I had a little bit. I had speed. I could run pretty fast, and I could at least catch. So I was like, okay, baseball's my game. So I remember one year, it was in middle school, and I went out for the team, and I was like the second to last person chosen. Right, y'all can make some fun. It's okay. Right, I was like the second last person not played because I was, you know, caught with my right. They put me in left field. Right, because that's on this side and catch with this hand. If it goes this way, right, I put my arm on to catch it. So anyway, but when I was coming up, they had this rule basically that everybody got to play. Right, but before then, you know, on Little League teams, the coach would kind of the kids that weren't so great. Right, they kind of put them at the very far end of the bench. Right, maybe their jersey didn't have their name on the back. Right, maybe you didn't have a number. Right? You didn't get called up to bat. That was before my time. Right, that's kind of cruel before then. You know what I'm saying? People, that's just kind of how they operated. Like, maybe you were on the team, but you were like the water boy. You were like the mascot. Right, you really, come on. I know some of y'all saw this before. Right, you weren't the only one. Maybe you got in the game, and maybe you didn't. I wasn't that great, but man, I was like, man, I made the team. But, man, so Little League had this rule that, man, every kid must participate in the game. Every kid has to play. And that meant that the kid that wasn't so great, that didn't have all the skills, that maybe wasn't as advanced as the other kids, man, they still got an opportunity. They still got a chance to play. And if you didn't play that kid, if you didn't play that kid at the end of the bench, your team would actually get disqualified. You could lose, right? The coach didn't play every kid, you'd lose. And that's a big rule that they have now in Little League. Now, in some ways, this is great, right, because every kid gets to play, but in some ways, it's not so great because it kind of led to stuff like participation trophies. It's one of my pet peeves. I don't like those, right, where everybody gets a trophy. Like, get the certificate. Yes, you play, but everybody don't get a trophy. Why? Because everybody didn't win. Come on now. Right. So, but I was like, man, you know, everybody didn't get to win. But the reason why I like the rule is because, you know, what it did is that it fostered this idea that everybody has a role to play. Right. No matter how good or how bad you were, everybody had a role to play on the team. Right. And that's really kind of what we should be striving for. One of the main points in this series that we've been kind of driving home is that every one of us has a great responsibility. And that's to carry on the purpose and the legacy of Christ, and that's his church, right? We all we have that responsibility. There's a weight that we all should be sharing together. And I've been saying to all of us, man, let's be the church. Like, let's not just come and attend, but let's actually be a part of making this church things happen, right? And we read back there in 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 19, says that, man, God was reconciling the world to himself. He who reconciled us to himself through Christ, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We've been given a ministry and a message to bring people back to God, right? That's our job. That's what the church is supposed to do. And now some of you might be thinking, well, man, doing the ministry and the preaching and the message, well, that's your job, Pastor. And I'm like, you're right. That is my job. But it's only a part of my job. The other part of my job is to really make sure that I'm equipping you to do ministry, right? It's not, yes, it's my job to stand up here and preach and deliver the word every week, but it's also my job to make sure that we're giving as a church opportunities for you to do ministry. Right, that you would play a part, right? And I'll show you kind of where it is in the word. Ephesians 4:11, Jesus speaking, he said, man, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. My job is to make sure that, man, we're equipping you, that we're giving you opportunities that you can begin to do some ministry of your own. Thank you, Andreas. I appreciate that, right? And so... I've been given this task, and really, I want us to begin to really take it on and recognize it in ourselves that we have been reconciled to God. And if we've been reconciled to God ourselves, if we've been brought back into the place where now we're in line with God, now we're in a good place with him, that, man, it now it's our job to minister and carry that message to somebody else, right? I can't just hold it for myself. I can't just, man, I'm good with God and I'm just going to stop right there. No, I'm saying, okay, now let's take that and make sure that somebody else is now good with God. That somebody else can get to the place where I am, where once I was in darkness, but now I'm in light. Man, where once I was lost, but now I'm found. Man, once I was blind, but now I can actually see the truth. Man, we should be helping somebody else get to that same position. That's a responsibility that we all share. And I'm saying, it's your job to be a minister. I'm calling you all into ministry today. And you might be thinking, oh, Pastor, now you know me. I'm not the one to be going into ministry. But man, this might be your first time hearing it. So, man, I want to give. What do I mean by to minister? It means this to man. It means to attend to the needs of others, simply. Right? I'm calling us on ministries so that we can attend to the needs of others, so that we can care for, that we can take care of them, that we can look after them, that we can help and assist people in their lives, right? So really, if I could put it in kind of one word, it would be to serve, right? I want us to serve. If I could put it into one word, it would be to serve. And as a Christian, we're called to a life of meeting the natural and spiritual needs of people. That's what we're called to do. We're called to minister and to serve as best we can, right? Now, I really feel like the example for this, as we've been saying all in the series, that the values that we have as a church roll out of, the first value they have is that we follow Jesus. And if you really look at Jesus' life, if you begin to read the scriptures, what you see is that he lived, his life was about serving. You look all throughout the scripture, whenever you see a story about him, he's serving someone else. He's wrapping a towel around his waist, and he's washing his disciples' feet. He has 5,000 and 4,000 people in front of him, and he's making sure that they have food, making sure that they have bread, right? He's helping out Peter on the boat when they're fishing. He's saying, man, you know what? Mend your nets and cast them out again. He's doing the work to make sure that their physical and their spiritual needs are met. It's It's not just I'm Jesus and I'm here. He's saying, no, what can I do to serve? He lived to serve. And that's why one of the core values of our church is this, is that it's we live to serve. That's one of the core values of our church, is we live to serve. And I'm saying we're always looking for ways to serve others, recognizing that jumping in to help is more important and it's more rewarding than just sitting on the sidelines, right? If I jump in to help, man, I'm going to get more of a reward than I am just chilling. Right? Because what I don't want is for us to be the bench player. I don't want us to be the kid at the end of the bench and feel like, man, I want to get in the game, but I have nothing to give. I want to get in the game, but man, my skills aren't as great as the next person. I want to get in the game, but man, coach won't let me in. Coach is letting you all into the game. We're putting everybody on the field at one time. Right? I'm saying, look, let's all get into the game. We live to serve. And really, if I could define it in our culture, and we've been talking about that a lot, is our culture as a church. But in our culture, everyone has a place to use their gifts and talents. There are no bench players. Nobody rides the pine at City Heart Church, right? Everybody gets an opportunity to play. Everybody gets an opportunity to be a part of what we're doing here as a church. And why is that? Romans 12:6 says this, says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, right? So I have certain gifts or certain things that God has equipped me with and allowed to happen in my life and things that I can do well. But you know what I can't do? I can't do what Carl does well. I can't do what he does well. I can't do what Andreas does really well. I can't play guitar like Chris. I wish. Chris is going to teach me one day. He's going to teach me how to play guitar. Man, I wish. I can't do that. But, man, he's giving me gifts, and I'm telling you, you have different gifts and that God's given you. And so if your gift is prophesying, the word says, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. We have kids ministry. We're looking for teachers, right? If you're skilled in that area of kids, we are welcoming you to ministry. Welcome. Use your gift. We would love to have it, right? If your gift is to encourage, then give encouragement. Every Sunday, we write letters to the teachers in this building. You might think, well, hey, I have great penmanship. Hey, that's a ministry. You think I'm joking, but we've had responses from the teachers here that said, you have no idea how much we put a City Heart card out every week, and we write on there just a note, just a thought or a scripture or a prayer that says, you know what, you're appreciated. We thank you for what you're doing. Right, thank you so much for teaching these students. And we leave a little candy, a little treat for them, something every week we do it, right? And what that does, man, I got an email back just 2 weeks ago of the teacher saying, hey, you have no idea. When I come in on a Monday, she's like, I come looking for that City Heart card that just has a note on it that just encourages me, and that blesses her life. It changes her life. And she's a believer, but she's like, look, I need encouragement even after going to church, knowing the word. She's like, I look forward to, like, man, does City Heart have church this weekend? I know y'all took a break, but what happened? Y'all coming back? Man, I need y'all here. Why? Because she's looking for that fulfillment. And that's what I'm saying, man, let's jump in the game and let's give some more, right? If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If God's blessed you to give, man, be a giver. If it is to lead, if God's given you the gift of leadership and administration, I'm looking for leaders. I'm looking for people that's saying, you know what, I can take this area. I can own this. I can make it my own. Man, just pastor, just get out the way, pastor. I got this. We're looking for leaders, right? If you feel like, man, I can step up, I can own this area, great. We need you, right? And do it diligently if you're going to lead. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Right, we've been saying for the last few weeks, man, when people walk through that door, we should be a welcoming presence. That, man, we should show mercy to people as they come through. That we should be an open door for people that are coming in with burdens and stress and life and stuff that's wearing them down. That we'd be a place where they can come in and they will find refuge. That they'll find, man, this is a place, man, when I come in, I just feel peace. I've heard that so many times. Man, I just felt like home when I walked through the door. We want to continue to create that presence here that anybody, no matter what they look like, what they've been through, where they come from, when they walk through our doors here, that they feel like, man, I belong here. I belong here. That's what Christ
did. 1 Peter 4:10 says, man, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Don't just hoard it. Serve somebody with that gift that you have. Serve somebody with it. Take what you have, what God's giving you, and bless somebody else as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. We are all uniquely gifted with the capacity to help somebody in need. There's going to always be somebody in need. There's always going to be somebody, that next person that we have the opportunity to touch. And I want us as a church to be proactive in touching lives. Right? We went out on Friday, just a few of us went out, just to give some teachers at Kirksey Middle School a lunch. Right? It's nothing, we might not think it's anything big. Pizza and some soda. Basically all it was. But to them, it was life. To them, it was like, oh my God, somebody cares about us in JPS. Somebody gives a care about, yes, we do. There's somebody out here that's praying for you that, hey, you know what, we see what you're doing. We know it's tough. We understand the circumstances that might not be so great, but you know what, we're here to support you. And that goes a long way, right? And I'm saying, man, let's do that, okay? So if you're looking to serve, the local church is a great place to begin. And a lot of you here serve. Right? It's a great place to start and continue. Right? If there is an expectation and a call in the word and the church to serve, then we must take hold of that to see what we're doing as ministry. Now you might come and we have opportunities to serve here every week. Every week there's an opportunity to serve at City Heart. And I'll give you the easiest one to do. Set up and break down. Right? I'm always preaching about set up and breakdown, right? Set up and breakdown is always a great way. It's always a great way to minister. Why? Why is set up and breakdown so important? Why? Really what we're doing, and it's really through everything that we do, what we're doing is we're setting the table. We're setting the table so that when people come in, when they see our signs, right? I talk to people all the time. They're like, man, what church is that? City Heart? Where are y'all at? Lakeland? Are you guys the orange signs? Anybody ever had that happen to you? Are you guys, yeah, we're the, yep, you see the orange signs on Lakeland? That's, man, that's our church. You know, Carl does that. Carl's sitting here. Carl puts out our signs every week. He serves in that way. And I was doing it for a while, and whoo, but Carl took it, and he made it better than what I was doing it, right? And my wife said, amen. No, for real, I say, amen. He does it better than what I was doing it. Man, you know what? Carl took what I was doing and he owned it. He said, man, that's my ministry. That's what I get to do. And he took and he drilled holes in the ground. I didn't even think about that. I was just putting out the signs and I'm like fighting with the sign every week and the thing's trying to blow away. And Carl's like, look, I'll just pass. I'm just going to drill a hole and we'll stick it right in the ground. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? Man, that's so genius. But man, what he, you have no idea, that's ministry. That is ministry. Somebody rolls by and they might be having a tough day and they see that sign. That man, somebody in the city has a heart and they care, and that's a place where I can go. And we've had people just randomly show up on a Saturday. Just looking, man, we just blessed somebody this past week and just randomly show up. But I'm saying, man, when we come and we set up and when we break down, we are setting the table for somebody to be reconciled to God. So, and that's why it's super important. That's what I'm saying. We want everybody involved. Find your place. Well, why don't we serve? Why don't I serve? Sometimes you have to ask yourself that question. Why don't I serve? And I'm going to give four quick reasons. One, a lot of times it's because people think, I don't think I'm needed. I don't think I'm needed. Right? They've got it. Right? They've got it all taken care of. When I show up, it's all set up every week. Right? They must be doing just fine. You know what? We could always use some more help. Right? I don't think I'm needed. Romans 12:4 says, man, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. We can't all do the same thing. It's like my hand. Okay? My thumb can't do what my pinky can do. My pinky finger can't do what this finger can do. Hopefully you're not using the middle finger too much while you're out in your cars. Right? But we all, none of these fingers, man, these fingers serve a different purpose in our lives. Some hold a pencil, right? Some you give a thumbs up to, right? You kind of wave at people. One body, different members, right? It's a great representation of one body, different members. And all these can't do the same thing, but if you take one away, what happens? You grow, it's harder to do stuff. right? So if this person who's uniquely gifted in the thumb ministry area goes away, man, they've got this thumb skill, this thumb talent in their life, and they go away, now these four fingers have to try to make up the difference, right? And they have to try to overwork to do what the thumb has to do, and maybe you start using your foot or something like that, I don't know, but you have to try to overwork. But I'm saying, man, what you do is important, and you're needed. We need some more thumbs in this church. We need some more pinky finger. It's all I can do. Hey, hallelujah for it, right? Number two, why don't people serve? Number two is this, man, I don't believe that my contributions matter, that people see them. Like I said before, we're setting the table so when people come in, man, they see it. They see the signs put up. They come in, there's coffee ready when you get here. All of that matters. When people come in, that adds to the experience that we all have. And we want to feel that, right? What Christ did matter, if you think about it, what Christ did, even his disciples, what they did mattered. Even the small, insignificant things that they did in their lives, in comparison to Christ, it might look small, but what they did was important. If you look at Peter, Peter's ministry was super important. Peter was responsible for really bringing in a lot of the Gentiles, as was Paul. But if Peter didn't do his job, there's a lot of people that would not have gotten reached if not for him. His contribution mattered. It might not have been Jesus' contribution, but it was Peter's contribution, and it mattered. Number three, man, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do, right? Romans 12, 6, 8, man, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, right? So what is your gift? What is it? Figure it out. We have ways to help you figure it out next week. If you haven't gone through Growth Track, we're doing Growth Track next week, where I think we're going to provide some lunch just to make sure that, man, you go through and you can find out what your spiritual gifts are. If you don't know, you might not know. What are my spiritual gifts? You don't know. We'll help you figure it out. What is it that you can take? Or you're like, well, my skills, man, I'm good at administration, but how does that apply to a church? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Man, I'm really good at this thing, but how does that work in church? We want to help you figure that out and help you apply it. 1 Peter 10 says, man, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. Make sure you're taking what you would do and apply it you can apply it in ministry. Number four, and we see this all the time, I don't have time. Or I just don't want to. Some of the reasons why people don't serve. Man, I don't have time. You ever notice how we make time for stuff that we deem important? Right? We make time for, I'm gonna name some bad stuff so that you can see how much time you actually have. We make time for things like watching Basketball Wives and stuff like that. Right? We make time for Facebook and Netflix and movies and going out and hanging. But then when it comes to serving God, it's kind of like, I don't know if I have time to do that. But I'm saying you have the time. You've been given grace. Every one of us has. So I want to give you, man, that's why you wouldn't serve, but man, why should we serve? Why should you serve, man? Lord, thank you for the rain. That's what we're praying for. Why should we serve? Here's some benefits. I don't know what's coming. Why should we serve? One, serving allows us to discover and develop our spiritual gifts and helps us to find our purpose. If you're trying to figure out, man, what's my purpose in life? What does God have for me? What is he trying to show me in my life? Man, it's involved in your spiritual gifts. If you, as you begin to serve, you'll begin to discover those spiritual gifts. And I'm saying, man, a church is made up of people that have all these different skills and abilities, right? Alone, those pieces aren't useful, but as you begin to use them, yeah, as we work together, we create really amazing stuff. We saw this morning people here worshiping with different skills, but as they brought those skills together, it made a beautiful sound, right? I was here weeping, crying on the front row, trying to hold it in, blasting the shit. Yeah. Why? Because all these different gifts came together and made a sound that was amazing, that blessed us. Man, why should we serve? Number two, serving helps us to be more like Jesus. Helps us to be more like him. We're saying we're following Christ. Serving allows us to do that. Man, when we shift the focus off of ourselves and we start focusing on the needs of others, then we begin to really do what Christ did in his life. And serving, if you don't know this, serving also puts you alongside people that are on the same path. One of the reasons why I love coming to set up is that, man, we get to hang out, right? And we hang out, and we're here laughing, we're all setting up stuff and cracking jokes and cracking on each other and saying funny stuff. Man, and I just get to, man, you know what? I get to spend time with people that are trying to do this faith thing along with me. They're trying to figure some stuff out in their life, too, or maybe they have a business, and, man, I get to talk about my business, and they get to talk about what they're trying to set up. Man, that is a benefit that comes. And we begin to see the Christ that's in them, and they really begin to see the Christ that's in us, and it can be really encouraging. You can really, man, some of the greatest friendships that I ever have, some of the greatest to this day, happen because I serve. I met my wife simply because we started serving. Simply that, for that reason only. That's why Andrea and I met, because we were serving together. So if you're looking for you, when I was playing, if you're looking for a wife, I'm saying, might want to start serving. Serving, what does it also do? Man, serving, the benefit of it, man, it increases our faith. It increases our faith. As we move out of our comfort zone, God increases our faith by revealing new potential to us, right? There's some new potential. There might be some potential that you have that you didn't know that you had. And as you begin to serve, that faith in your life begins to increase. That, man, you're saying, man, you begin to really develop a relationship with the Lord. Even as you develop a relationship with other people, it begins to grow. Lastly, serving is good for your soul. Actually, studies have shown that volunteering and serving is good for the mind and body, that it can ease symptoms of stress and depression, right? As what does it do? A, because you're taking yourself out of the equation. You're not thinking about just yourself, and you start to ease. That stuff that's been burning you down starts to go away. That stuff that, man, this is stressing me out, but you know what? Let me go and help somebody else. That begins to ease some of the stuff that's going on in your life. And helps you to tap into your gifts and passions. And it builds self-confidence. It can build energy, right? It can also build strength. Strength in every area of your life. The places where you might feel weak as you begin to serve, in your soul, the places where you might be feeling weak and down, the Lord can begin to really use your serving somebody else. Use you and kids' ministry to begin to bless somebody else. And we do worship with the kids back there. And I don't know if you've ever experienced or been in a room with kids that worship. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Been in a room where kids have their eyes closed and their hands raised and they begin to worship. I don't care how tough of a dude you are. It'll mess with you. It'll just place like, you know, it gets really dusty in the room sometimes, right? When you get in the room, man, you start to see how kids adore the Lord and how they begin to worship him. Man, it creates such a presence that you want to be a part of. As we begin to use all the gifts that we have and the passion towards building Christ's life and his church, man, it begins to have an effect on us. One of the great things that you see, and I didn't even list this in the benefits, there's so many I could list, I just picked these four, but one of the great benefits that you see is you get to see the results of your labor, the rewards. When I serve, when you see people that come in, and maybe they don't know the Lord, but they raise their hand for salvation, can't beat that. You can't beat that. When you see, man, families coming, maybe they were broken apart, but man, they start to get restored in the kingdom. That happens as we serve, as we set the table for people. Man, we are opening the door to those people coming back to God. That is a divine purpose that we've all been given. We've all been given the ministry and the message of reconciliation. And I'm saying, man, it's time to begin to minister. It's time to see yourself, to see what we do here as ministry. It's not just you coming to church. It can't just be that. It needs to be ministry. You're no longer someone that just attends church. You are the church. This is not just a place where you come and it's great we get to hang out, but man, we really get to set it up for somebody else to get to know God. That is amazing. And God, he didn't give that to just all-star players. He didn't give that to just the greatest kid on the baseball team. He gave it to every kid down the row. Even the person that feels like, man, I don't think I'm good enough to be in the game. He's saying, no, you're good enough. Just what you have is good enough. That gift and that talent that you have is good enough to be in the game. And he's saying, okay, hey, let's get you in. Let's get you in. Hey, sub, let's get you in the game. Let's get you involved in doing what God's called you to do. It's time to get off the bench and get in the game, every child of God has to participate. Everybody gets in the game. It's an all skate. We all get to be in on what God's trying to do. And that's my encouragement for you today. If you have been serving, my encouragement is you're doing great. Continue to serve. If you haven't been serving, I'm saying, hey, man, jump in the game. We've got a spot for you. We've got a place where we can use you. God is trying to allow you to minister. He's trying to allow you to reach more people to bring to him. And that there's a reward and there's a blessing that comes from that. We live to serve. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.